I'm joined by James Naughtie. He's the lead anchor of BBC's Radio 4 Today Show, former chief political correspondent for The Guardian in London. You did that in 85, I believe, is that right?
Yeah, for about 4 years in the mid-80s, yeah.
So what moved you from print to broadcast, first of all? Let's start with that.
Well, the BBC asked me to present a fairly high-profile show on Radio 4, a main domestic news network here, and it was impossible to say no, really. And then after doing that for 5 years or so, I moved to Today, which is the biggest audience morning show, and it's still the main conduit for news, actually, in the country, in the sense that breakfast television tends to be a bit more fluffy, and a lot of people get their news in the morning from radio and from our show, so it's a great place to be if you're a journalist and interested in politics. And there we are, and that's where I am.
And you've been doing this for a while now, and you've written about Tony Blair extensively, but most recently, most recently you wrote this book, The Accidental American, Tony Blair and the Presidency. And he's a little understood figure in the U.S. Being a Brit, I know more about him, I guess, than most people in Houston and certainly in the Americas generally. But he's risen to prominence, and he is one of the few foreign leaders that has ever had his speeches played to without too much editing on the U.S. media. What do you know of the American impression of Tony Blair before we move to what the Brits think of him right now?
It's an interesting question, this, because Blair's knowledge of the U.S. is surprisingly thin. His best friends have both been presidents, which is a curious condition for any leader, and rather heady. And he's not deeply immersed in the United States at all. But he found, I think, in his closeness to Bill Clinton, an excitement in the way things were done in Washington, an admiration for the best qualities of America. And I think that after 9/11, when he'd begun to develop a rather friendly and quite close relationship with Bush, to the surprise, I think, of both of them, he found himself, partly because of his emotional quotient in his political outlook, tremendously moved by the American experience of the horror of that day. And I think that cemented a kind of relationship in his mind about the United States. Now, as to how Americans view him, it's not for me to say, but I mean, my observation, having spent a lot of time in the States in the last few years and having traveled with Blair to the States several times, is that he did touch a chord after 9/11, I think partly because of the words he used, partly because of his ability to touch the dramatic moment in politics, which is one of his great characteristics. I don't say that pejoratively, it's a simple fact. He has the ability to catch a moment quite well in words. But it went beyond that. He seemed to speak from overseas with a kind of feeling for the experience that had been on 9/11, which wasn't matched by anyone else. Chirac, of course, by chance, had been in the White House immediately after 9/11. But when he came out with George Bush, his comments were, of course, expressing sympathy, of course, eloquent, but somehow they didn't catch that kind of shared experience. When Blair came over the following week, he was immediately immersed in the horror of the post-9/11 America. He understood it, he felt it, and I think he communicated that. And I myself found on subsequent visits shortly after that how powerfully his words had resonated across the United States. And it's quite a feature of the last 3 or 4 years that Blair somehow managed to etch his image on the American political consciousness. You know, we don't know exactly why, but what I've said, I think, gives some flavour of it from a British perspective.